Welcome to Ask Peggy About Your Finances, because prosperity is so much more than money. Brought to you by writer, speaker, and certified financial planner, Peggy Doviak.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Hello, and welcome to the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. My name is Peggy Doviak, and I'm a certified financial planner practitioner and a personal finance author. This is a show to help you understand your money, and I've got some great topics this week. We're going to look at markets and expected Federal Reserve action this week. We're going to talk about Social Security funding levels for next year. If you're a mom or if you take care of people, I'm going to offer tips on how to take care of yourself this Mother's Day. And then finally, in the Ask Peggy section, again, I'm going to keep with the theme of next steps. So let's get started with the bulls and bears market and economic update. This is for the week ending May 2nd, 2025. And it was a good week in the stock market again. We'll talk about why here in just a little bit. The Dow was up almost 3%. The S&P 500 was up a little less than 3.5%, and the NASDAQ was up about 6.75%. Gold went down almost 2.5%, and oil was the big loser of the week. It went down 9.42% as of Friday, and the current price of a barrel of West Texas Intermediate crude front month price is $56.05. And that's related to OPEC opening the ability to get oil from them, which, of course, anytime OPEC floods the market, oil goes through the floor, and it is now $56.05. We'll talk about that in a little bit, too. The dollar went up 0.75%. The 10-year Treasury yield went up 10.30%, and that rate right now is 4.314%, which means the aggregate bond fund, the AGG, went down about 0.63%. The volatility index, how worried people are, went down 8.7%, and Bitcoin dropped about 0.75%. So the fact that the market is doing well is a function of the stock market thinking that there's going to be tariff relief. Remember, the stock market has been moving very much according to what it thinks tariffs are going to do. There is a peculiar part of this, though, that the 10-year Treasury yield went up 10%. Now, you know, it may mean nothing, and it may just be some weird kink that happened. However, I don't like the fact the 10-year Treasury went up. When I was putting the data together for the show, because really it's one of the easiest ways for me to keep up with where everything is, and I hadn't been following the 10-year Treasury day to day this last week, I was expecting it to be down because the market was up. And, you know, there was some talks about, oh, yeah, we're talking, we're making deals, you know, maybe the tariffs aren't going to be as bad as expected. And there's also a hope on the part of the president, as well as the stock market, that the Fed is going to lower rates this week. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Fed has to remain cautious because of the fear that we could, in fact, have severe tariffs, and we could, in fact, have inflation as a result of that. And so it's easier for the Fed not to lower than it is for them to raise, because when they raise rates, everybody gets mad. When they just don't lower rates, people get mad, but they don't get as mad as when the Fed raises. Well, apparently the 10-year Treasury agrees with me being up 10%, because that's not the movement you would expect if the Treasury market thought the Fed was about to drop rates. Remember that all markets anticipate. All markets are expecting what they think are going to happen next. That's why so many times a company will come out with good earnings and the stock price goes down. which is super counterintuitive until you look back at the chart and you realize that the stock had already gone up in value, that the action related to the anticipated good earnings had occurred. And so then once the earnings come out, if they're not just perfect, or just because a lot of times the market will, you know, raise things just a little bit too high, you end up getting a drop. Which means if you're not following the market and you're buying stocks based on the news, it's why you can get very frustrated. Because, oh, well, these are great earnings. I think I'll buy it. And then the first thing you do is lose 10%. Now, I understand investing for the long term. I understand that you shouldn't look at the portfolio every day. I'm not suggesting for a minute that I think you should do that. I am going to say, however, a lot of people do that. They buy based off of the news, then they're mad that they never can get anything to go up. That's why investing for the long run makes a lot of sense. It's why investing into an index where you're not actually trying to time out an individual stock has proven in the long run to be slightly more effective for people. It's why dollar cost averaging is good, because money is going in on a relatively regular basis. And so you take all of that out of what you were expecting to see. However, I still know a lot of people who do it the other way. So you need to be careful. I am slightly concerned with the 10% increase in the 10-year Treasury yield. I think that perhaps the Treasury market, the bond market, isn't as convinced that the tariffs are going to go away as the stock market might be. We've talked about that in earlier shows. So I think what we're going to have to do is just watch this and wait. The Fed Chair Jerome Powell is speaking again. Will there be a rate cut this week? I'll be very surprised, okay? And again, you know, this radio show is free, so that is worth exactly what you paid for it. But you do want to really be cautious, really be careful. The market itself has come back just enormously over its lows of the beginning of April. So if you had decided your risk tolerance level needed to be tweaked for one reason or another, with the recovery we've seen, it's an easier time to look at things like that. Otherwise, just, you know, make sure your risk tolerance level is where it needs to be. Make sure your portfolio matches your risk tolerance level. Make sure that you're diversified. And honestly, right now, that's about all you can do.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the legislative update of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And today I want to give you some news that you can see it as bad news, or you can see it as good news, or perhaps relief news. So let me tell you what I'm talking about. So the president's 2026 budget keeps the funding for Social Security at the 2025 level, which was $12.7 billion. Now, the reason that can be seen as bad news is the cost to run Social Security goes up every year by apparently about $600 million. So by leaving the funding at $12.7 billion, then you are in fact cutting the program because of inflation, because of increasing costs. And so that $600 million that it needed gives Social Security less money to work with. And there are some people who are really, really upset about this. And I understand why they're upset. Here's why I personally think it's good news as well. I've talked to lots of people who are terrified that Social Security is going to go altogether away. That if they're getting checks, the checks are going to stop. That if they aren't getting benefits yet, they're never going to get benefits. And people are really terrified, and perhaps rightly so, that their Social Security benefits are going to just go away. And for so many senior citizens, the Social Security benefit is the only retirement money they have to live on. Because not everybody is in a job that has a 401k. Few have jobs that also offer their own pensions. So whether this is a good thing or not is not this conversation. What it is the statement that if Social Security benefits were to go away, the devastation economically on this country would be remarkable. I'm thrilled it's in the budget at all. Okay, from things that I have heard, from the whole we're going to privatize it to Elon Musk's Doge cuts, there's been some real legitimate fear about the future of Social Security. So anything that remains in the budget, anything that can keep its bones around itself, can have funding adjustments made. So just because there aren't funding adjustments for this year does not mean that there will be no funding adjustments in the future. Had Social Security no longer been an item in the budget, that would have been the catastrophic problem, because it's going to take smarter people than me to figure out how to undo programs that are completely eliminated. Okay, I think that when things are tweaked, when they're cut, it's painful and it's awful. And I am not for one moment saying that I like that. That isn't what I am talking about. But I am saying that I'm very glad that Social Security made the budget, because as long as Social Security can remain intact, more or less, then it's going to be possible to keep everything going the way it needs to be going at some point in the future. So that is the news. Remember, I've given this advice in earlier episodes. I would recommend that everyone go in and copy down from the Social Security website. You can download a PDF of your earnings statement. So typically it's a 3 or 4 page PDF. The first page is showing you what your benefit is going to be. The second page is a bunch of stuff. The third page is every year that you worked and how much money you made during that period of time. So if you keep a copy of that, if something should happen to your records at the Social Security office, you would have the data. If you receive a monthly check, it's a little bit easier. You're much more likely to have your 1099-R from last year's taxes, where you reported your Social Security income. You're much more likely to be able to find a monthly paycheck. The people that I think really need to take the most action are the people who are still working, who are not yet collecting benefits, who want to make sure that all of their earnings history is information that they have access to, just in case they should ever need it. But the $600 million is going to be very, very painful to the agency. It's going to create problems. It's going to create situations. You know, if you anticipate a Social Security change, I would encourage you to get on it right away. It is so easy to procrastinate on information that you don't want to deal with, that you just don't want to deal with having to hold for 3 or 4 hours on the phone or drive to the Social Security office. But go ahead and get anything that you need to get done early, because these cuts will make it harder to get support. There's no question these cuts will impact Social Security's ability to provide services. But the fact it's in the budget, I will still continue to say, is some good news.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Plan Your Prosperity segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And I think most of you will hear this show before Mother's Day, which is next Sunday. So let me tell you happy Mother's Day, whether you are a biological mother or a stepmother or an adoptive mother, or just simply someone who provides an extraordinary level of care to someone else. You know, we use the adjective mothering for a reason. So if you are any form of a caregiver, happy Mother's Day to you. And I know that sometimes when you give a lot, you can find yourself a little bit depleted. And now that we have parents who we adore, who are living much longer, now that we have had children who are perhaps having trouble finding work, you know, after COVID, things have gotten complicated, or with interest rates the way that they currently are, even if they have a job, they may not be able to purchase a house. And so they are living with you. And it's very easy, especially when you love these people, to feel like the ham in the middle of the sandwich and to feel like you are being pulled in every single direction. And I want to, this Mother's Day, ask you to give yourself a gift. And that is the gift of grace and the gift of being able to ask for help. I know that's hard. I absolutely know that's hard because I am the poster child for people who do not like to ask for help. Somehow we feel like we're letting people down, but I'm going to tell you a secret. We're not. And you can do anything, but you cannot do everything. And when you can actually come to embrace that, it doesn't mean you're a failure. It just means you're overwhelmed. So if you keep going, you're going to wear out, you may burn out, and then you're not going to be able to provide nearly as much care as if you take just a few minutes today and you start trying to get things in order. So if you are feeling overwhelmed, the first thing you need to do is call a family meeting. Now, the family meeting does not have to be this huge, giant thing where you then start telling people you need to start making your own beds. It can be pizza and the beverage of choice, depending on the age of the kids. And you need to explain to them that you are feeling overwhelmed. And you and those people need to make a plan. So if you have adult children, obviously the role that they can take in the house is pretty extensive. But even young children can help by picking up their room, picking up the living room, doing some vacuuming, setting the table, doing those things that just take a job off of you. And if it's not seen as a punishment, especially for the younger ones, if it's seen as getting to have the ability to help, you're going to get more enthusiasm. So it's not because they're doing anything wrong. It's just simply because you cannot keep up at the level that you are. You know, with adult children, there is absolutely nothing wrong with asking them to help with some of the bills. If they're living under the roof, they should help you pitch in. If they're not working at all, then they need to take some time and develop a way of earning income and then begin to help. But I know that we've always taken care of our kids, and it feels really weird then to ask them to help us later. But I promise you that's not a bad thing to do. And you're doing more for them if you're giving them a roof over their head than if they were having to go out and rent. And guess what? They'd have to pay all the utilities then too. So be aware that everybody can help you, and they should. Your spouse, your kids, your adult kids, everybody should play a role. The next thing you need to do is set boundaries. You do not have to do absolutely everything and be available at the drop of a hat for everything that needs to be done. Again, this is a job that can be divvied up. Now, obviously, if you are caring for an adult parent, and if that parent especially like isn't living under your roof and they call and there's an emergency, yeah, you drop everything and you go and you see what's going on. But maybe they just need the prescriptions refilled. If you have driving age children, that is a great job to give them. Now, some of the medications, it's not always possible, but for most senior citizen medications, there's absolutely no reason why a driving age child can't go pick them up. And the advantage is it lets them interact more with their grandparents. And that is actually a great gift. So if something has gone terribly wrong, then yes, you probably need to be in the middle of it. But again, spouses and older kids can help pick up younger kids from things like soccer practice and dance lessons and all of those things. So that everything that needs to be done is not on you, and ask for the help. Most of the time, they're going to be happy to comply. Now, if you have really vibrant parents and little kids, those grandparents may really like the idea of spending some more time with their grandkids, and they can help you with that. So it's not just necessarily senior parents who need assistance. Sometimes it's parents when you've got little kids, and they can help with that as well. Again, I find that most people are really happy to help as long as they are asked in a way that doesn't sound like they're doing something wrong, or that I can't believe you weren't doing this for me. All of those things all need to be, you know, out of your tone of voice, but asking for help is a really great thing. Start looking for ways to become efficient. Rather than running five errands, try to find a way to join two or three things together. So if you need to pick up prescriptions and pick up somebody from soccer and get the prescriptions to your parents, try to make this one trip so that you get everything done and you stack tasks on top of each other. And I know this is just really not financial advice at all. I get that. But, you know, sometimes we feel like, oh, the prescription's ready, I need to run, go get it. Well, tie it to a trip to the grocery store and you're going to be a lot less frustrated. And take shortcuts. Paper plates are fine. Paper cups are fine. You know, if you want paper straws to help with the environment, that's great. But products that you can recycle or throw away when life gets very challenging is absolutely fine. You know, maybe you use real dishes sometimes and use paper plates the rest of the time, but you need to start looking for those shortcuts, for those ways that can make your life easier. So then, once you've got things easier, you're going to feel better and you're going to be able to take care of yourself because you're not running so crazy hard in every direction that there is no time left for you. It's really important that there be time for you, because when there's time for you, that gives you time for everybody else.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Ask Peggy segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And I want to continue talking about next steps because, again, I am only getting one question right now, which is, Peggy, what do I do now? So the first thing I'm going to repeat is what I talked about a little earlier in the show. The market has actually made a remarkable recovery, and I'm talking about the stock market right now, has made a remarkable recovery under the belief that the tariffs are not going to be as bad as they were expecting them to be. Now, if that is true, then the market will continue to kind of hum along a lot like normal. I would expect to see the level of improvement actually fall off a little bit because it was making up for the collapse of the beginning of April, right? So you're not going to see something because it was a straight fall down. The fact it's been a pretty impressive recovering of that, you can't expect that rate going forward. But if in fact the tariffs are not going to be that big of a deal, then we will see a good market. If the tariffs are worse than the market is thinking that they will be, and if the bond market movement means that the bond market is worried about the tariffs, and again, I don't know for sure what the bond market is worried about right now. I was just very surprised when I put together the data for the show and didn't have as much time, honestly, to do as deep of a dive into why are the rates going up when the Fed hasn't raised rates. So we're going to just kind of have to watch that. But if the tariffs are worse than anticipated, the market may struggle a little bit. But given that the market has done a very good job recovering, if you've been thinking since that happened, wow, you know, I was moderately aggressive in my portfolio, but I set that up 40 years ago and I'd like to dial it back to moderate. And I'm not saying you should do that. I'm just saying if you're thinking that, then this isn't the worst time to do it because you've recovered a lot of that loss. And it's not like you're selling things while they're so far down. You're certainly not selling the bottom right now. And so if you were wanting to make an adjustment to your risk tolerance level, it would be a reasonable time to do it. I have also been hearing, again, from economists, okay? I'm not listening to people on social media unless it's economic data that happens to be being released on social media, that we may start seeing fewer things that have the high tariffs associated with them available to purchase. So if you are going to make a purchase anyway, you might do it sooner, not later. If you already had the funding, again, if you just haven't gotten around to it, you might consider it because you don't want to get into a situation where you just postpone something and then maybe you pay more for it than what you would have had to have done otherwise. I am seeing people use this as an excuse to go out and spend money, and you should not do that because I'm trying to fix a problem. I am not trying to get you to go out and buy everything you ever thought you ever wanted. That's not good financial planning. Continue to save your emergency fund. I know I'm so boring, and I will say that for the rest of my natural life. You need to be careful that you have some money laid back. We don't know what the next emergency is going to be. Certainly with COVID, we wouldn't have expected the restaurants to have been closed down for 3 or 4 months, sometimes longer than that. So you need to have some money laid back. That way, if there is a crisis, you have some cash available to do it. It's more important in uncertainty, but it's absolutely important anytime because you just don't know. In January of 20, nobody would have believed what was about to happen. So, you know, there aren't any other really big things that you need to worry about right now. Just look at your portfolio. You're going to feel better than you think you are. And hiding from your financial fears is never the way that you need to go, because when you're afraid of something, you're not in control of it. It's in control of you. So it's very important that you stay not afraid of your money and that you take the steps to help you prosper. I do have really good news on the personal front to share with you. My 52 Weeks to Fearless, What Creatives Need to Know About Money, is doing quite well. So if you have a group of creatives that you work with and you would like to do to have me speak, I can speak virtually. If you have a book club filled with creatives, they're short, easy chapters. It's not overwhelming. I've been very, very happy with the fact that people have liked the book quite a bit. And so if there's anything I can do to help you with that, my contact information is on my website, which is peggydoviak.com, peggydoviak.com. Additionally, my cozy mystery, You Can't Bury Death, is going to release on June 25th.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
You may submit personal finance questions to the Ask Peggy Facebook page and learn more at peggydoviak.com. And remember, prosperity is so much more than money.